by golly, Cacciaguida signs on. For his bravery, he is knighted by the Holy Roman Emperor, and in battle, he is cut down and killed by a Muslim, therefore being a kind of martyr in defense of the faith. So those are Cacciaguida's personal credentials for being in this particular one of the spheres of heaven.
And they sound like pretty impressive credentials to Dante. At the end, he says, boy, no wonder. I mean, even here in heaven, when I ought to be purged in this, of this sort of thing, I sure do feel pride in my ancestry. And again, a reminder then of him to kind of think about the question, well, all right, what's the point? I'm proud of him, but does that mean that that gives me something automatically? What he does is kind of reflect on the fact that the best that he can do is to use Cacciaguida's example to kind of recreate his own life in imitation of that. It doesn't mean, hey, okay, I'm going to go out and join the Crusades, but to kind of see what the modern update would be for his own place and time, to act with the same kind of courage and the same kind of heroism that Cacciaguida acted with in his time. And that, too, becomes a kind of interesting major thread that runs through this. He's learning something from Cacciaguida about how to live his own life, even as he learned from the story of Francis of Assisi the particular virtues that he needed to take with him in exile.
So what does it mean to have an ancestor who is a martyr, who is a knight, who is a crusader, who is a saint by the definition of being a citizen of heaven? You know, what's the value of all that? Well, you know, one value is perhaps sort of bragging rights. I've got this great-great-grandfather who's in heaven. Where in hell is your great-great-grandfather? My grandfather was a martyr. What did your grandfather do? There's always that kind of way to do it.
Which is, of course, getting into exactly the same thing that he got into with Farinata. Has he learned anything since that time? He can come back. You know, too bad he can't go back to hell again. He said, well, listen, I found out what my great-great-grandfather has done, and has your great-great-grandfather done anything that good? Okay. Okay? Because Cacciaguida, Farinata was the one who had the last word down there. Dante gets a rush back to hell and say, ha, gotcha this time.
That's one possibility, right? Another possibility is Dante could say, got it made. Got this great ancestor. God couldn't turn me down. Look who my great-great-grandfather is, and he's up there in heaven praying for me and whatever. But we know from the purgatory that that doesn't work, because we saw those negligent kings, and we saw that they lived very differently from their ancestors. We also saw with that empress that we met at the beginning of the Paradiso that, in fact, her son is in hell. So that Dante can't use it as sort of his guarantee. So then what is the value of good ancestors?
One of the things that's very interesting, of course, is that Dante doesn't learn the answer immediately. As so much else in the poem, it's connected with a learning experience, and that experience starts with Cacciaguida making some observations about just what it was like back in the old days and how the Florence of his time differs from the Florence of Dante's time. Remember, in our very first lecture, we were talking about that kind of initial fact about Florence in Dante's day, how it was basically teeming with teeming with the hostility that can only come from sort of overcrowdedness and sort of being pushed together and all. The picture that Cacciaguida paints of Florence in an earlier time is certainly different from that.
We could make a list and go on and on and on about how many contrasts Cacciaguida makes between his Florence and Dante's Florence, but a few of them, I think, are valuable, and I think we'll pick up on things that we learned with the Pilgrim, both in the Inferno and in the Purgatory. First of all, as Cacciaguida quite rightly points out, that is, say, modern historians can verify this, Florence was a lot smaller place. And in fact, there are a number of specific points that Cacciaguida makes to suggest that small not only is okay, small is really good. That obviously one of the things that Cacciaguida's Florence had in this, again, somewhat idealized version of the past that Dante's own Florence doesn't have is a kind of unity. It wasn't so crowded. It wasn't so big. It wasn't interested in expansion. You know, not long after Dante's time, writers who look back on the Roman Empire, even with a great deal of respect, say the one thing the Romans got wrong in some ways was they were too busy trying to expand and not always interested enough in governing what they actually had. And it may be that Dante has a sense of that too, that as the Florentines have expanded, what happens with expansion is expansion breeds expansion. That is to say, just think about it, and Dante understands this very well. If you increase the size of your city, either because you know, through natural growth or by encouraging people to come in from the countryside, then what do you have to do? You have to expand the amount of countryside you control.